My past experience with the Lord often, when in referencing and explaining what it was like to have Jesus Christ live his life through you. For those of you who don't believe a Christian can really be set free, then you don't understand the gospel. If you think the gospel is you're trying your best to be like Christ, then I get it. That's just another form of being bent toward yourself and trying to live under the law. But if you understand that the gospel is you being in union with Christ, that Christ himself might live his life through you, well, let me just tell you what, Christ is pretty whole. And his wholeness, his light is bigger and brighter than your darkness. And darkness is dispelled in the presence of light. So one of the ways that the Lord would speak to me, and I would teach it at times, and I learned this from others, but is that to wake up and to say, Lord, these are your hands to work with. These are your feet to walk with. This is your heart to love with. This is your lips to speak with, your ears to hear with, your eyes to see with, your mind to think with. Lord, have a nice day. And my spiritual father used to talk about going to bed at night with the hilarious anticipation of Christ doing that very thing the next day. And whatever involved in your circumstances in your life. What's been so fun for me lately is how the Lord has so specifically spoken into my life. Because we know that we're distinct, but we're not separate. We're one, and yet we're distinct. And we have this relationship, and yet this he, in union with me, lives his life through me. And so one of the things he's been saying to me, I'll say it to you again today, this became really clear when I was in Africa, these things I was hearing, and the Lord would talk about just how excited he was about the next thing I was about to do, the people I was going to see, the people I was going to be with, whether in Africa on the bus or going into a store or being here and going through a drive-thru, whatever, talking to people, doing this. The Lord would say to me, and he says it every day, he was reminding me last night, I just can't tell you how excited I am about being with the people you're going to be with to encounter tomorrow. I've been waiting for so long for just this day, because this is the day the Lord has made. Because he's made it, I can rejoice and be glad in it. It's not of my making. It's not of other people's making. I don't care what they might do. He's ordering my steps, not people, not the devil. But this morning when I was just driving here to church to hang out with the Lord, he said, I can't tell you how excited I am about just being with you today. All the things that we're going to do in union today. Because there are times when it's just me and him. You know, there's nobody around. And yet he loves that. There's a place in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 that talks about being a sweet-smelling fragrance of him to God and then to people. And so there's just this dynamic that goes on, even when I'm in prayer or just reading the Bible or just alone, where as I'm abiding, there's this sweet-smelling fragrance that impacts the Father and the Holy Spirit. And I become very aware of the dance, the perichoresis, this thing I've been invited into, this fellowship, this eternal fellowship. But so this morning, and kind of hanging out with the Lord and my time in prayer, if I'm able, unless I'm riding down the road or whatever, I pray with my Bible open and stuff available and worship music going on and journaling. I do it now with headset, and I speak into my computer and it writes stuff out for me. I know that makes you think that I'm an electronic genius, but oh, the mind of the flesh will make you think all kinds of things. But that's just what we do, and we talk, and it's kind of like Psalm 27. This one thing I've asked that I shall seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, behold his beauty and inquire of him. That's kind of what's happened in my footstool or garden time, where we just communicate, and he reveals himself. I ask questions. He answers them. I talk to him about things, this mystery of prayer. I was talking to somebody today. I said, here's this mystery of prayer that I'm just invited into. He just does this. It's like trying to explain prayer is like impossible. And we teach about it, but it's impossible. But just I get to just participate in the prayer life of Jesus. And I was talking to a friend. Like, this is how my prayer life goes. So I'm praying, and all of a sudden I heard, call this person. Well, that can't count as prayer, right? I mean, that's breaking a rule for sure. I mean, it's kind of like if you don't close in Jesus' name, none of it counted before. So I called this person just to find out how they were doing. And it was important. And I just said, isn't it so cool that that you've had this moment, this breakthrough moment, and Jesus told you something, and that somehow I can pray for you, and it just multiplies the experience of grace that you're already operating in. That somehow my prayers help carry that burden in Christ. Not me carry it, but sorry, all this jazz, and we probably aren't going to do the word I was going to give. And so this morning, in hanging out with the Lord said, I want you to just go through the Gospel of John. So that's going to take me a while. So you're going to hear the Gospel of John a lot, probably on the weekdays, because I want to reveal the love of God to you through the Gospel of John. Man, it stoked me so much. So I didn't get very far, and we certainly won't get very far today, but I just want to show you something that is stunning to me. So these are familiar verses. I read them from that really weird book I read from. It's hard to find anything in that book, though it's all in sequence. It's just, I've never read from that book before. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the Word with, the term with really means toward. It actually means toward, face to face. So what John's doing in the first few verses of this chapter is explaining who Jesus is, who Jesus was, who Jesus will be. Just who is this Jesus? Because he knows that he has to explain who this Jesus is for us to understand how big God's love is for us. So he's the Word, now I know this is, I don't mean to get fancy. I learned this in Bible college. It's one of the things I remember. I was thinking the other day, sorry, getting sidetracked. I remember maybe three teachers from when I was in high school. I don't remember anything about high school. I remember having two Fs in history. I did summer school the first summer. Boy, that was a mistake because I just didn't care. It was in English. And then I was made two Fs the first 2 6 weeks, and I decided I'm not going to go back to summer school. I'm not going to go back to kid prison where there's no air conditioning in downtown Birmingham. And so I made like a 99. So I ended up with a C average. And I realized that was fun making a 99. So I made all A's the rest of the time in high school just because it was fun to do. But I don't remember anything about high school. I remember everything about Bible college because my heart was awakened, and there was this professor teaching this verse. And the Word, W-A-S, was, I know this, you're going to, this is a durative imperfect verb. And literally what he's saying here, John is saying, what the Holy Spirit's saying is, this is how it goes. And the Word was, is, and will be, is God. That he's always present tense, but he was always is God. He is God, and he will be is God. And so he's establishing the fact that this Word, Jesus' name, James' Word, which says a lot to us about how distant God wants to be from us. No, he's accessible. And Christ is God screaming at how accessible he is. So his very name is communication. His very name is Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. His very names mean God wants to speak with you. He wants you to communicate with him. He loves being with you. And you might go, yeah, but not the mess that I'm at. Not the mess where people are at. So we'll skip a couple of things. We'll hang out. We'll probably be here until I die. And so I'm figuring that's in my 80s, and so we'll still be in John. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, face to face with God, an intimate fellowship, and the Word was God. So Jesus is God. He was in the beginning, face to face with God. All things came into being in him. Now your Bible may say by him, but it's actually the Word in him. All things came into being in him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. There are like four other places in the New Testament it says Jesus was the agent of creation. And there's cool stuff here, but we'll look at it another time. In him, all things came into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not, my Bible says comprehend, but that's not the Word. The Word Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome him, did not take him down. Verse 9 says, there was a true light coming into the world that enlightens every man. Verse 10, he was in the world. Verse 11, he came to his own. Verse 14, and the word became flesh. And what is he saying here? He establishes really clearly in the first few verses, not only is Jesus the word is God, the word's always being God, the word's always lived in face-to-face intimate fellowship with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, this God the Son. That's who he is. And yet, he came into this world. Again, the whole thing about the incarnation. The incarnation is the greatest miracle, the greatest wonder in all of history. It's one of the greatest expressions of God's love for us. Because it says this, this is where we'll stop. And the light shines in the darkness. Take it down. He didn't say the light shines into the darkness. Do you hear me? He said the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not take it down. Verse 7. John came for a witness that he might bear witness of the light that all might believe through him. Jesus coming into the world. Jesus' life is the light of men. And if a person is not in Christ, they walk in darkness. The only thing that guides them is what the world says is the truth. I wrote a devotional yesterday from John chapter 11. But in Christ, because he's the light, he's the truth, that no matter whether there's darkness surrounding you, in this fallen world, or light. We walk in his light. We see different. We don't perceive. The world doesn't dictate to us what reality is, what truth is. Amen? What people tell us about ourselves, he's the truth about who you are. He's the light. But there's more than that. The thing that blows me away here is that how did God deal with the darkness? He didn't just shine light into the darkness. He didn't scream with the darkness. He clothed himself with darkness, born of a woman, clothed himself, Romans 8, verse 3, full flesh. And in the darkness, light began to win. And the darkness, though he clothed himself with our darkness, the darkness never took him down. Now, what was he saying partly to us? If Jesus is the light of men, if Christ is inside of you, though darkness may surround you, though you still don't have redeemed body yet, there's still the law of sin in your members, darkness can't take down the light. Jesus came as the free eagle. He came as the expression of the new creation, saying, I'm the light, and I shine in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome me. I encourage you on two levels, that God would do that, that there was such darkness, such fallenness. And God said, in the person of Christ, God said, we're going in. And I'm going to clothe myself with humanity. Because only by clothing myself with humanity can I redeem humanity. And I'm going to clothe myself in darkness, and I'm going to shine in that darkness, and the darkness will not overcome me, so that every person who believes can have me in them as the light of life. My life is the light of men. His life is the light of men. I just think, what amazing way John says this book, he wrote, that no man has seen God at any time, but Jesus has explained him. What an amazing start to explaining who this God is. That he's offended with your darkness, that he closes his eyes to your darkness, that he turns his back to your darkness. No, he stepped into darkness. He stepped into your darkness, my darkness, that in my weakness his strength might be made perfect. One day all darkness will be gone. How many of you get discouraged and despairing because, you know, your own humanity or what's going on in the world? Listen, if you're walking in the light of his life, there's just something inexplicable. There's something bewildering to overcome. Because the one who said, in this world you'll have tribulation, he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. It never overcame me, and I'm the one who lives in you. Amen? And see, listen to me. I don't want to be insensitive, but don't come to me whining about your situations. I'm 70. I know situations. If you live old and long enough in this fallen world, you're going to know situations. All right, Lord, thank you that you stepped into our darkness, into the muck and the yuck and the mire and the slime of fallen humanity, clothed yourself in our darkness that we might clothe ourselves in your light, that we would be redeemed, new creations. We bless you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.